Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. After he begat Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years, and he had sons and daughters. Then you go to verse 23. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Then verse 24. It repeats again. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And he begat Lamech, and Methuselah lived 782 years and had sons and daughters. Verse 27. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Lamech lived 182 years and a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, "The one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord had cursed." After he begat Noah, Lamech lived 595 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 770 years, and he died. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this moment. May you be with us as we expound your word. May you give us your glory, that we see the truth and live the truth. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. The chapter that we read, these verses, they are well known. Let me go back a little bit. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and after that, he created Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve lived in the Garden of Eden. And Adam was evicted. He was the first man to be evicted from his home because he had disobeyed God. And when Adam was evicted, God put an angel at the gate of the garden so that Adam would not get in there together with his wife. And apparently, Eve, disobedience came through Eve. Adam and Eve, they united together, because Adam was not forced to take the fruit. Adam was not forced. Eve took the fruit and ate, and Adam was told, "I ate." And then they worked together to work against God. And then the Bible says sin came through Adam. And after Adam was evicted, there may be some of you have been evicted from your home. You know, he was not given a notice. The guy was living in there, okay, God comes and then he says, "Adam, where are you?" And Adam says, "I'm hiding." And he says, "Did you steal from the tree?" He said, "Yes, I was afraid when I heard you." And then the Bible says he was evicted. We don't know how much notice he was given, but he was evicted. Why he was evicted? Because the Bible says he was going to go to the tree of life. So if he was going to eat from the tree of life, then sin was going to live forever. And after that eviction, Adam had sons and daughters. And I'd like to imagine at times Adam would get up and walk together with the daughters and say, and come close to the house or to the garden where he used to live and says, "This is our home, but we cannot go in there because there is an angel that is blocking the way." That's Adam. So all the days that he lived, he was thinking about his blessed home that he was evicted from. He wanted to go home. I can relate to this. If you grow up in another country, and then you come into this country, no matter how good this country is, you always, when you're asked about what is home, you always say, I'm thinking of going home. Think of the original place where you came from. So no matter whatever happened around Adam, wherever he went, whatever he ate, he was thinking of the home where he was evicted from. And you know, kids, they do ask, probably Cain was asking, but what did you do to be evicted? What happened? Did you not pay the rent or what happened? And then Adam said, you know, we messed up. We messed up. And that's what happened. And Adam lived all this time longing to go back to his original home. And when you look at this Bible, the first two chapters of the Bible, and I think Adam fell on the second chapter. So the first three pages of the Bible, then man fell. And after that, it was all about repairing broken relationships. And when you go through the whole Bible, it's about broken relationships. You get to the last two pages of the Bible, that's in Revelation chapter 21. There, you get the issue about restoration of the relationship that is between God and man. Are you getting me? So, the whole book of the Bible, I want you to go just on, open your Bible and go to Genesis chapter 2. Right, and then I want you also to open your Bible and go to Genesis to Revelation chapter 21. If you do not have a Bible, there's a Bible under the pew there. Can you please do that for me? There's something that I want you to do quickly before, because we got only about 10 minutes before this sermon is over. So let's just get to. Are you there on Revelation chapter 21 and also on Genesis chapter 2? Are you there? Okay, all right. I want you to lift up your Bible and hold it like this. All right. Yeah, just lift it up and hold it like this. Now, God, young people, I asked you to get some Bibles. There are Bibles that are under there that I'm seeing and you didn't pick them up. May you pick them up, please. Right, can you just hold it with one hand like this? Okay, those, all right. Can you see that how many the few pages that are here, God is giving instructions to man, and also God is talking to man, and there's just a little bit of enjoyment in here. That's when God creates man, and then man breaks the law. The relationship is broken. Okay. When you go to the last few chapters, God is talking about the restoration of the relationships. And what is in between all these pages, what is God talking about? Chapter 21, there's restoration of relationship. It's there. That's what he's talking about. When he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, it means the tree of life is restored. You can go and eat from there. But over here, man is lost. Over here, man is restored. The relationship is restored to God. In between, God is talking to us about relationship and about restoring that relationship so that we can end up with these few chapters. Now, can you see the importance that God has put in talking to us about relationships? Can you see that all this, God is trying to win you over? All these chapters, all the 66 books in the Bible, you know, God is talking about all the chapters. I mean, I don't know how many chapters are in there. But God is talking about restoration of relation, waking our relationships. There's commotion when you go through all these chapters. There's commotion, killing, you know, animals dying, and many other things, so that the relationship can be restored. So, when the Bible says God is love, that's what the Bible is talking about. We need to work on relationships. All right, I would like us to go to Amos 3. If somebody can find Amos 3, verse 3. Amos 3, verse 3. Amos is one of the small prophets. Okay. Or minor prophets, not small prophets. Minor prophets. Amos 3, verse 3. Can two walk together unless they agree? Can two walk together unless they agree? If you do not agree, you don't walk together. Right. The Bible is saying Enoch walked with God. The Bible is saying when Enoch was 65 years old, he gave birth to Methuselah. Okay, before I get into that, do you mind to go on the chat about the ages? Go on the screen about the ages. Can you turn on the screen about the ages? Doug? Okay. All right. You can go and talk to Doug there. Okay. Here's the thing that I want us to know. The Bible says Enoch walked with God. When he was 65 years old, he gave birth to Methuselah. The name Methuselah means when he dies, it will happen. And I went to read the Hebrew history. The Bible here says Methuselah lived how many years? 969 years old. Enoch lived 365. Then Jared lived 62. Methuselah 895. Cain 910. Enosh 905. Seth 912. Adam 930, and then Noah 950, and then there's that other, the father of Noah was Lamech. Lamech lived 777 years old, and when you read your Bible very well, Lamech was the first man to have polygamy. So I was thinking, could it be that he was so much stressed by having two wives? Because when you look at that lineage, he's the only one with less years. I don't know. It's just food for thought. Because he kind of threw off the pattern. And when you look also at he's the one who had two wives. He's the first man to have two wives. And when you look at that chart also very well, look at Methuselah. He lived 969 years. So Methuselah is the oldest man that have ever lived on earth. So maybe if I will go to the Ten Commandments, it says, obey your father and your mother so that your days will be many on earth. Maybe Methuselah, that's my thinking, maybe Methuselah did obey Enoch. And by the way, Methuselah was the father of Lamech. Lamech is the one who taught Noah. And Noah is the one who built the ark. So you can see that from the lineage of Enoch, I'm just starting from Enoch, the gospel continued just to move in, and Methuselah lived 969 years old, the oldest man that have ever lived on earth. And the Bible says Enoch, when he was 65 years old, he gave birth to Methuselah, and then he walked with God for 300 years. What does it entail to walk with God for 300 years? Have you ever tried to think of that? At times, you know, God says, thou shalt work in six days, thou shalt work, the seventh day is the seventh of the Lord, is the day of the Lord, thou shalt rest on that day. We are having trouble in just keeping those 24 hours, okay? Just assigning them to God. Now, but this gentleman here, the Bible says he walked with God for 300 years. I don't know what was happening in the first 65, because the Bible is saying when he gave birth to Methuselah, that's when the Bible says he walked with God. All right. So I don't know whether the birth of Methuselah taught him something that he should walk with God. I don't know. But now, when I was looking at it, I'm like, okay, what really does it mean to walk with God? having a conversation with God day and night. By the way, when you look at our grandfather Adam, Adam was walking with God. The Bible will tell you that God will come in the middle of the day or in the evening and then will talk to Adam. And then that relationship was broken because Adam sinned. He lived all the other 900 something years after having a broken relationship. But now, God wanted Adam to continue the relationship. But that was found in the grandson of Adam, the son of Seth. Or the son of Canaan, or the son of Enoch, or the son of Jared. These people, they did walk with God. But Enoch, that's what the Bible says, Enoch walked with God. So what Grandpa Adam failed to do, Enoch managed to do. That's the whole sermon there. What Grandpa failed to do, Enoch managed to do. When we talk about walking with God, if it was today, let me go to the young people. If Enoch had a Facebook account, that Facebook account will have a conversation with God. If Enoch had a Twitter account, that Twitter account, it will be a conversation with God. If Enoch had friends, those friends, you'll be talking about God. Because when you go to the book of Jude, it says Enoch was preaching about the second coming of Christ. So in other words, Enoch understood the plan of salvation. Maybe let me get to the adults. It means when Enoch was seated at his home, watching television, if God will show up when Enoch is watching television, Enoch will not turn off the channel because God is not comfortable with what Enoch is watching. That's what it means to walk with God. What it is, because Enoch was married. If God will walk up in a conversation between Enoch and his wife, that conversation will not cease. Have you ever seen that at times you just walk in a home, the conversation that was going on, it ceases. And the countenance on the faces, they'll show you that something was going amiss because a visitor has shown up. Probably with Enoch, that conversation will not change. Because many, it was more to do with God. Maybe if he walked to the table, Christ would just show up to the table where Enoch was eating. You will not change. Or maybe when Enoch will get a text message, you will not hide it. When Jesus says, let me see your text message. Because at times text messages, they come, they are just deleted. Three, they are gone. Because I'm the only one who is supposed to see it. Nobody is supposed to see it. Young people, are you there? Are you there? Okay. Maybe the Bible is saying Enoch walked with God. He had a conversation. Now, the way you walk with God is in conversation with us through his Bible. So the first thing is, for you to know God, you've got to read the Bible and that's how you communicate with him. If there's no communication, then there is death, there's no life. So number one, you've got to read your Bible. Are you there, young people? Then number two, prayer. Prayer is a conversation with God. Prayer is not a list of requests that you are sending to God. It's a conversation with God. Then number three, am I hearing some young people talking? If you can be quiet there, Tavisile. in the music that Enoch was listening. Because, by the way, Enoch preceded the flood. And the Bible says the time of the end shall be like the days of Noah. And when I read the Hebrew history, it was saying Enoch lived, Methuselah lived 7 days. He died 7 days before the flood, Methuselah. It's not in the Bible, that's in Hebrew history. Methuselah was taught by Enoch. So meaning that when Enoch lived, the days were so bad, just like our days. That's why he was preaching about the second coming. That's why he was preaching about perverse men who are against God. But the Bible says, amidst all that was going on, Enoch lived and Enoch walked with God for 300 years. During the time of the perverse generation, during the time when the world is so bad, where information is so rampant, it's so public, where you can get anything that you want, are you walking with God? My belief is that people were playing music during Enoch's time. And Enoch listened to the heavenly music. There were a lot of noises that were going on, but Enoch was walking with God. Probably if God will listen to the radio station that Enoch was listening, Enoch will not turn it off because it was heavenly music. I don't know what manner of life that we are living. When God gets into the car with you, the radio station that you listen to, will Jesus be comfortable with what you are listening? When Jesus shows up on your Twitter account, he says, I'm Jesus. Are you able to communicate with him and send him a tweet to him? Or are you going to wipe out all your accounts so that Jesus will not see? If Jesus shows up in your Facebook, are you going to just wipe it out so that he will not see? Or when your phone rings and Jesus is there, are you going to say, excuse me? And then you are going to just cut off the phone because you don't want the conversation that Jesus is going to hear? You don't want Jesus to hear the conversation that you are having? When you are talking to your parents, if Jesus shows up, is he going to approve it? When you are talking to your kids, when Jesus shows up, is he going to approve it? When you are talking to your wife, when Jesus shows up, is he going to approve it? We got to walk with him in order for us to live eternal life. We have to walk with him. We have to change the way we do. We cannot have business as usual. If we want to go to heaven, we cannot have business as usual, ladies and gentlemen. You can return tithe $300 a month, $500, $1,000, and what have you. I know that you are taking this serious. That's why for this church to be built, it's because people are serious in giving. So let us also be serious in our relationships too. And what it means is Enoch was all around, because it says he walked with God. It means his relationships with his kids, they were okay. And his relationship with his wife, they were okay. That's why God sent his angels to take him. Because when it says he was taken by God, I also went to look in the story of redemption. I think it's page 5. It says God sent his angels to take Enoch. He was having a conversation. Now, if your interests are in the world, then you cannot have a conversation with God because your interests are in the world. So, I mean, if you are always in communication with the devil, then you are not going to have a conversation with God because all your time is taken by that. The other thing that we've got to know is yesterday I went to a men's retreat, and I want to thank my wife for that. I did learn quite a number of things about about business management and about having businesses. But one point that I learned is that 1% of the time, 1% of our time is spent in getting a business. Then 99% is spent on maintaining that business. Then when it comes to marriage, 1% is spent on getting married. Then 99% is spent on maintaining the marriage. But the sad thing is this, that during a marriage, a lot of money is spent buying cakes, gowns, suits, rings, and what have you. And a lot of time is spent on doing that. And then there's just very little time that is spent on getting education about marriage. And that same tragedy is the tragedy that has befell us. The day that you were baptized, you were in walk with Christ. And that was 1%. And 99% is maintaining that relationship with Christ. That's why when you get to the issue to your Bible, first three pages, the relationship is broken. 99% is working on the relationship. So if you don't spend 99% in conversation with the Lord, then you lose it. You lose it. And that's why David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures." He was walking with God. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, when my relationships are in the hands of God, when I have got good relationship with the Master, by the way, the Bible says God is love. So when he who is love is in me, then the issue of giving love is not a problem. But when he who is love is not in me, then I will have a problem with all the relationships that I do have. So when God is in me, because God is love, when God is in me, then love is in me. And when love is in me, when I'm filled, then it's easier for me to give love to my wife, to my kids, and to my co-workers. But when that love, when I am empty inside, and him who is love is not in me, then it is impossible for me to give that which I do not have. In other words, when I've got $100, and $100 is in the hands of the Master, that's a blessing. When I've got $1,000, and God is not in my finances, that becomes a problem. Do you hear me, church? When I've got a marriage, and that marriage is not synced in Christ, I have a problem. When I've got a marriage and that marriage is in Christ, then all my problems are okay, they are solved. And that's why David says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." All what it means is this: when there's evil around me, when there's death around me, when Jesus is holding my hand, I am in safe hands. So safety is not the absence of danger, but the presence of God. So when I am in the hands of God, I am safe. When my money is in the hands of God, my money is safe. When my children are in the hands of God, they are safe. Even when I am sick and I am in the hands of God, I am safe. And also, even if I die, when I die in the hands of God, I am safe. And that's why Paul says, For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It means if I die, I am still in the hands of God, and my life is preserved. I got to have my life in the hands of the Master. Jesus is in the business of saving souls. That's why when you go to John chapter 8, verse 56, Jesus says to the Pharisees, Abraham was happy to see my day. He was glad to have thoughts about my day. You know why? Because Abraham heard the story that our grandfather was evicted from his home. And he knew that when Christ will come, then that eviction order is canceled. The death order is canceled. And then you go to Revelation chapter 21. I've always repeated this. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city descending from heaven as a bridegroom prepared for her husband. And I heard the loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, this is the tabernacle of God. He is now with mankind. He shall be their God and they shall be his people. That's the restoration of the lost home. That's the day that Adam is waiting for. But there's one thing that I want us to learn out of all this. You can forget everything else. Moses was a great prophet. He talked with God face to face. But the Bible says Enoch walked with God. Elijah was a man who walked with God. He was a great prophet, the Bible says. But the Bible also says Enoch walked with God. Simon Peter, John, and James, they were the disciples of Jesus. And the Bible says Enoch walked with God. Methuselah was the oldest man to live. But Enoch walked with God. I would rather not be a great preacher, but walk with God. I would rather not be a great singer, but walk with God. I would rather not be known by the NFL, but walk with God. I would rather not be a popular kid at school, but walk with God. I want to walk with God just like Enoch. I like the old time religion. It's good enough for me. If it was good for Paul and Silas, it is good enough for me. If I'm going to die, let me die walking with God. For God is going to keep me on the day of resurrection. I'm going to wake up again. For if I die in Christ, I will wake up in Christ. So let me have a walk with the Master. That is the only way. I can have my PhD, but let me walk with the Master. I can have my monies, let me walk with the Master. I can be the least educated, let me walk with the Master. For my life, in the hands of the Master, I'm safe. And what I, in closing, one day, the daughters of Enoch and the sons, they gather together, the brothers and the sisters. They said, Enoch is missing. If it was during our time, you call 911, and then you put Amber Alert. Enoch is missing, Enoch is missing. I don't know how they got the message that the missing man was in heaven. I would rather go missing and be taken to heaven than go missing because I'm somewhere else. I would rather be in a relationship with the Master than attain all the things in this world. Enoch's children did not go to heaven on that day. His wife did not go to heaven. These were good people. Because when you follow people like Methuselah, they were good people. That's why he lived a long life. They did not go to heaven. God had a special reason why. But one other thing that we can learn from there is, when God calls you, you have a duty. Do not have an excuse not to do his work. When he calls you to do his work. You've got to do it diligently. So I look forward to be seeing, first of all, Christ. I want to see Enoch. But best of all, I want to see Christ who died for me. And then I would like to talk to Enoch one day and say, how did you go? 300 years in a relationship. That's no joke. I've checked people who are married. You know, some people have been married. I think the last couple that I talked to, they were married for 55, 56 years. Well, they were saying it's a give and take. You know. But with the master, I mean, you are going to gain everything, eternal life. You are going to get it. So what I'm saying is here, I can do anything else, but I want to walk with Jesus. So that in my Twitter account, in my relationships, in my emails, in everything, there is nothing hidden, but there is only something that is clear and it's about the Master. May you stand up and pray with me. God of the universe, our loving Father, the God of love, may you abide in us so that we become love. May you be with us from now and forevermore. That our life be transformed today. For we know that you are in the business of saving men. May we walk with you just like Enoch and have a conversation with you. That will be ready. That each day that we live, the relationship will grow stronger and stronger and stronger until we go home. Oh Lord, we are tired of this world. We want to go home. We want to go home. But transform us so that we'll be ready for home. Transform us so that we'll be ready for home. We pray this in the loving name of Jesus. Amen.